Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Liz Neely, the curator of digital experience at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe. The museum is working on a series of projects to develop new ways of revealing connections between art, archival, and historic home collections to facilitate a broader exploration and study of Georgia O'Keeffe. These projects imagine access to collections through discovery, storytelling, and ultimately a digital catalog raisonné. Liz is a human-centered strategist focused on forming engaging experiences for museum audiences while designing sustainable organizational workflows.
Thanks for joining us today, Liz. I guess I wanted to start by asking if the Georgia O'Keeffe is the only museum doing this work, or are there other museums who are approaching the curation of digital experience in a similar way? Do you have colleagues in this adventure?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I think that in museums, we're all thinking about this in some ways, and archival collections and libraries are also thinking about digital collections and how to connect things up. We are part of a community that's called the Linked Art Community, and it is a series of people who are looking to approach museum collections in a particular way, using linked open data, using certain vocabularies that are standards in the museum field, whether they're from the Getty or from Library of Congress. And so there is a group and a framework that is kind of supporting this so that we're all going down the same direction, so we're not making things up as we go along. Because even when you have standards, there's so many standards to choose from, and there's always decisions to be made within those standards. So this group helps to say, well, this is the one we're going to pick for this, this is the one we're going to pick for that, and we've tried to conform to that, and that makes us part of a loose community in that way. And as people are looking at that, there's been more activity around artworks themselves and less around connecting with archives. Though there was a project called the American Art Collaborative, AAC, and they actually were precursors to us that were looking at connecting the American art from 13 different institutions across the country using linked data. And so they were the ones that kind of worked out some of the problems and the kinks so that we could start where we started. That's ultimately where this linked art group came out of, because it was a realization when they started that everyone was looking at standards but interpreting them perhaps in slightly different ways. And there was an archival component of that as well in that the American Art Archives. So I think that there is a community. I think there's not been as many live, so there's been a lot more prototyping. So I'm very proud of what we've done because it's live and out there. And that's my way of doing things, is like, get it out there, get it in the hands of the users, because we learn so much. We learn by doing, we learn by seeing what the possibilities are, both as a staff and what works, what doesn't work. When we originally released it, we put a big beta sign on it. And I think as we move into our next projects, there are different people who have done bits and pieces. So, for example, as we're looking to publish the Archive of Historic Exhibitions, MoMA has done that. So I talked to the person who kind of led that effort, and what did they learn in doing that? What would they have done differently? Just really talking to different professionals who have done different pieces of it. Digital publications, the Getty has a community of people around this product called Quire. It's open source, but not super open, because they can keep the community, they know who's involved. They have a forum, and so when we do a digital publication that's connected, I can write to them and say, who's had this problem? So there are a lot of communities that I tap into for the various parts that we get to, and hopefully they tap into us so that we can say, how are we putting this together? Because I think one of the unique things that we're doing is really trying to keep it all part of one ecosystem. does something that has this active and updated, can it be a catalog resume at all? So I think even now we're getting what are the key questions, and through those different sets of research, the surveys, the one-on-one conversations, and then ultimately workshops, what really draws itself out of there of the challenges and opportunities. And then, of course, in the end, what are the challenges and opportunities and how you can mitigate the challenges and how you can take advantage of the opportunities. And then, of course, we at the O'Keeffe Museum will have to decide how far do we take it. So that's the great part about a level one grant, is it's the exploration phase. It's not the commitment phase.
But there are additional levels of this Digital Humanities Advancement Grant. And so what would the next level be? Let's say you figure it all out this year and you're like, yes, I know how we want to move forward. So what does that look like?
It's the National Endowment for the Humanities, NEH Digital Humanities Advancement Grant. It's a level one. I think they have two or three levels. I don't remember how many levels they have for this specific grant. The way I look at it is, I think we'll want to, in the spirit of what I talked about, is I want to get information in the hands of people as quickly as possible. If I were to look into a crystal ball, I think we would have a long-term plan for what we want ultimately. But of course, all of the research that goes into updating a full catalog resume, it can be a 5 or 10 year project, because you need to find all the works. Now, we're doing an update, so maybe it's less of that, because there is a catalog resume that we're working off of. What I think that we will do is look at, well, what are different ways that we can take aspects of this? So actually publishing historic collections, it's already approaching one aspect of the catalog resume, because it's taking care of an exhibition history, but in a digital data-driven way. So I'm a little bit on the obsessed side. So every project I do is one step in that direction. So again, if I had to look at a crystal ball, what I would really like to see is start giving access to what are all of the artworks by O'Keeffe that we know of and we know where they are, and have that findable. And that's a lot easier to do than say you have the scholarly apparatus done for each one of those. I think that developing APIs so that you can have relationships with most of the public collections, and how does that scale if you have 138 of them? That would be an interesting project that I think would be a next step. And I think that would add to the field in general of like, okay, we know how to talk to APIs, but if you're a small museum and you want to talk to 138 museums, how do you scale that? And I think that's some discussions I've had with other professionals. And then, you know, start to have a whole track for the research aspect of it, which is updating everything. But there's only one way to get to the end of the long road, is to start traveling. So I think there's a lot of different ways. You're kind of probably getting a sense of how my brain works. It's kind of a network like linked open data. But I foresee that there are a lot of ways that every year we can provide more to our audiences, while also taking that long view of providing new research and really updating this and providing a resource that is reliable, but also is a generative tool that incorporates a lot of different ideas. If we can work with other smart people to think about, how do you scale with 138 APIs when you don't have a programmer in your place, also knowing that probably 60% of those museums are just getting their collections online now, or even still thinking about that. So I think that these are really interesting issues, and that if we do it right and we engage the right people, we can solve some problems that are beyond solving what we're trying to solve ourselves.
And give that back to the community. Liz, I'm curious, your title is Curator of Digital Experience at the O'Keeffe Museum, but you weren't born that, or at least most likely you weren't. So what's your background, and how did you actually end up doing this kind of work?
I think I've been extremely lucky, is what I think. So this will give away my age to a certain extent.
Or not.
I was really lucky to kind of hit the job market, like get out of school or undergraduate right when the first .com, which maybe people don't even know what .com boom is anymore, but such that all of the people that actually knew something about technology or like officially had schooling were getting high paying jobs. So basically, if you could show, I know how to do this, this is what I do at home, you know, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but if you showed promise in this area and were left to kind of do things. So I worked at the Northwestern University libraries, and they had so many needs back in those days. So they would assign someone from each department that showed interest in digital. So we all trained ourselves together in some form of, you know, back then we were coding HTML, and then we would help faculty make their own web pages and things like that. And based on that, I got a job at the Art Institute of Chicago managing servers, because they're like, well, you know, seems like you could probably learn how to do it. And so that was before like digital was really a thing. You know, there would be a whole education department sharing one computer, or we still had what we called in those days local talk. And so that meant that there were phone wires that would just be tangled and daisy chained around a room. And mind you, I'm not that old. It's just that we were kind of behind. So yeah, we picked up the rotary phone. And so as you can tell, I'm excitable and I'm excited and I'm curious. And so here I was at the Art Institute of Chicago and I saw all these possibilities. I started working there in 1997. And there were a lot of smart and excited people around me who wanted to advance the field, whether they were a curator or someone dealing with collections information or in education, a digital interactive or something like that. So whether it was scholarly interaction or education or collections information. And so I got to be at the center of all of those kinds of things for many years and help, of course, with all of the colleagues around me, help to design the field of digital experience with other digital technologists and with the power of the Art Institute great team to learn from. So I feel extremely, extremely lucky.
What you described, especially when it comes to some of these intersections between technology and the humanities, I think what you just described is a very common kind of Gen X story, you know, because now you can go get degrees and all that stuff. And I'm showing my age. At the time, we just had to make it all up as we were going along because none of it had been done before.
And I would point out that Liz is still making it up as she goes along. She's still expanding the boundaries and maybe creating a new kind of museum must have, right?
Yeah, I think I was extremely lucky because I think it is a feature of going from an analog to a digital generation that I had. But if I have an opportunity to mentor people coming into the field now, of just having that curiosity, seeing where we can push boundaries, you know, even though these are set fields now, I think the opportunity that people have now is to also go between museum and private sector, just learning those best practices from both places. And so I think you're right that it's not the same now, but I think that any time that we talk to people going this field, it's just like saying that there are still these opportunities, there's still ways of looking at it and finding alliances. I think that's one thing I've learned is how do you find the people to work with? Because not everyone wants to be engaged in this kind of dialogue. And so I think who are the champions? How do you identify the perfect partners? And it's not always the department head, it's not always the VP, who can you work with at the School of the Art Institute? Well, it's people who are making their name. I think that what you get from time is who are the perfect partners. My last piece of advice for everything, never do a job you don't want to do. I mean, do things you don't want to do, but if you hate your job, find a new line of work because you got to have the passion and love, especially in the humanities, because there are downsides, usually around the paycheck.
We love your passion. It's just been such a treat to get a taste of what it's like to work on Team Liz Neely. And it sounds like we should just keep checking in with you every couple of years to see how much more of the whale you've eaten.
I'll do my best to impress.
And if you would like more information, you can visit the O'Keeffe Museum online. at o'keefemuseum.org. And of course, the museum itself is located in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.